Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness of what the Lord has done for you? Oh, can I get a witness? Can I get a witness of what the Lord has done for you? Oh, can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness
of what the Lord has done for you? Oh, can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
Oh, can I get a witness
of what the Lord has brought you through? I didn't come to hear the headlines from the 6 o'clock news. I don't want to hear your gossip. I simply want the truth. Oh, tell me how he saved you to the uttermost. And if you have to boast, tell me how he filled you with the Holy Ghost. Can I get a witness?
Well, can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
Oh, can I get a witness
of what the Lord has done for you? Well, tell me how he saved you from your wicked ways. Tell me how he healed you when that doctor said no way. Well, have you been delivered from anything at all? I want to hear your story. I want to hear it all. Can I get a witness? What the Lord has done for you. I don't want to hear your pity or how the devil's mistreated you. I simply want to know how good God has been to you. Tell me how he saved you from the power of sin. And tell me about the victory you're about to win. Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
Oh, can I get a witness?
Oh, can I get a witness
of what the Lord has done for you? Tell me how he saved you from all your wicked ways. Tell me how he healed you when that doctor said no way. Well, have you been delivered from anything at all? I want to hear your story. I want to hear it all. Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
Well, can I get a witness
of what the Lord has done for you? Some people just try to tell you how holy they think they are, while the others just make excuses why they drifted so far. Well, I just want somebody who's come to praise his name. Somebody that knows that Jesus, he is the only way. Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness
of what the Lord has done for you? Tell me about the valley that you just came through. Tell me about your mountaintop. Tell me about the view. Tell me about the battle God just broke through. Tell me how the good Lord he brought you through. Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness
of what the Lord has done for you?
Can I get a witness?
Of how the Lord has has brought you through. Come on, give him some praise in this house.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Acts chapter 13 tonight for the last night. We have preached to you from Acts chapter number 13, verse 36 all week. Acts chapter 17, verse number 6. Tonight we'll go to Jude chapter number 1. Amen. We're going to do our best to preach to you what the Lord has laid into our hearts and into our spirit to tell you tonight. Amen. We didn't get finished last night, and so we're going to try our best to finish this tonight, obey the Lord, and bring to you what the Lord has laid into our hearts. I want to thank you for everything you've done to make us happy while we've been here. We are honored. Acts chapter 13, if you got it, stand for the reading of the word. They got it on the screen, so everybody should have it tonight. Acts chapter 13, verse 36, you ought to be able to quote it by now. I preached it to you all week. Everybody say it out loud with me. For David, after he served his own generation, by the will of God, fell asleep. Let's read it again. For David, after he served his own generation, by the will of God, fell asleep. Amen. That should be the heart cry of every young man, young woman here tonight. You leave here, Lord, I want to serve my own generation by the will of God. For David, after he served his own generation, by the will of God, fell asleep. Acts chapter 17, verse number 6. Acts chapter 17, verse number 6. The Bible reads, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying. Everybody shout, cry. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Let's read that again. These that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Let's cry it aloud. I mean loud. Like they did. The Bible said they cried it out. These that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Two beaten, wounded disciples had just been beaten from the prison of Philippi and locked in that prison, walking to the city of Thessalonica. And when they did, the Bible says these that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Jude tonight, if the Lord will help me get there, I want to preach to you closing this out. Verse number 21, spiritual revolutionist. Amen. Jude chapter 1, verse 21. This is my dismissal for you as far as my part. Amen. Going to have a dismissal service in the morning. They're talking about that dismissal service. Amen. This is my dismissal scripture here. Amen. To send you back in that world. But the Bible says in verse number 20. Amen. Let's jump up. Amen. To verse number 19. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But verse number 20, he's speaking, these are some kind of people here. But ye beloved, amen. James the other day was sitting in a service and the Lord gave him a thought. I wanted to preach it and he won't let me preach it. Amen. Brother Setzer was showing me something tonight. I said, just let me take that of the pulpit with me. I'll just preach it. Amen. But James, we was reading the other night in the book of Luke, amen, and the Bible was talking about Judas, and amen, and the devil entered him. But in the same chapter, the Bible said, and Satan hath desired to have you, to Peter. James looked at me, he said, Dad, some he's got, some he won't. Amen. I want you to know tonight, the devil's got some, but some he's desiring and he wants. Which part of that crowd are you? The Bible said these, but ye, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourself in the love of God. Can you shout that with me, young people? I don't have time to preach all of this, but shout it with me. Keep yourself in the love of God. When people walk away from you, the greatest thing they ought to be able to say is they love me. No matter how, amen, what they feel, the number one thing they must feel, they loved me. They might not have agreed with me, but they love me. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some having compassion, all the young folks shouted, making a difference. How many say, I want my life to make a difference? And some, amen, having compassion, making a difference. And others went beyond that and even greater and save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Hallelujah. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Woo! That's shouting scripture right there. He now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. In other words, the Lord's going to bring you to the forefront and present you faultless with great joy. What kind of people? Them that keep themselves in the love of God, praying in the Holy Ghost, making a difference. Can you shout amen? And pulling people out of the fire. He's able to keep you from falling. I told my church Sunday night, I feel a little Baptist anointing getting on me. Amen. You said, Brother Greg done lost his mind. You may be seated tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, anoint us. We ask you to touch us to preach your gospel in the wonderful name of Jesus. All the church shouted, amen. Amen. What I'm saying to you tonight, amen, is this, that Baptist anointing is the fact that you can get saved and keep it. There's a Baptist preacher walking down the road with a Pentecostal preacher, and the Pentecostal preacher opened his mouth and said, what church do you pastor? He said, I'm a pastor of a Baptist church. And the man, the Pentecostal, looked back at him and said, yeah, y'all the ones that don't believe in backsliding, aren't you? That old Baptist preacher looked back at him and said, yeah, and y'all the ones that practice it. Amen. I want you to know you don't get saved seven times in a lifetime. Boy, you're going to get quiet on me tonight. I believe you can get it and keep it and never lose it. You can eternally be secure. You can lose it and backslide, but I believe you don't have to go back. I believe you can get a hold of this and never lose it. Now, I know a lot of you are feeling a little fear for what I'm saying here to the young people. I want you to know, amen, that in spite of all the young people that got in every 2 months, every 3 months in your church and quit every 2 to 3 months, they never got it like they needed it. Come on, somebody. I've been in churches where they were shacking with people, shacking with women, and shacking with me, get saved, supposedly pray through in revival. Amen. Line up to the Bible, the Word of God, and begin to condemn everybody else that's not living like they are, only to find themselves in 3 months back in the same shape, back out in the world. Come on, somebody. I want you to know when you get this and it gets down in you and you get born again, really born again, you won't lose it overnight. Amen. Somebody ought to shout amen to me. Amen. Because I'm helping you tonight. Because I want you to know it takes more than just, amen, one night to get you out of this if you really got in this. Now you can lose it. Amen. But I'm telling you, you're not going to want to lose it. There's going to be a deep doubt. I've been through some battles and I've been through some trials and some things I thought I'd never rise from again. But I'm telling you, I'm here tonight by the grace of God because I've fallen on the rock. Are you hearing me? And I had no desire to go back. Can you shout amen? Amen. Yes, I messed up. I've made choices I've not to make. But the fact is, I did not want to go back. And the enemy said, you messed up now, might as well go back. But I'm telling you, you don't have to go back. Can you shout amen? I preached to you all week concerning this, that God has called you to make a difference in your generation. It is the destiny and the will of God. Now, how many knows that the most important thing in your life is what? What have I preached to y'all? Well, the most important thing in your life is what? The will of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God, why God's placed me here. Now, I want you to understand again tonight, if I'm not, who's going to heaven? He who does the will of God. Who is my brother and sister? He who does the will of God. Well, Pastor Greg, what is the will of God? Everything in the will of God is destined, amen, for the harvest of souls to be brought into the kingdom. Every shake of the hand in that church is about souls. Everything I'm to do is about the lost being brought into the kingdom of God. There's a lot of people about to face God, are you hearing me? And never one soul to God, and they think they're all right. Amen. But I come to tell you tonight that the will of God is for you to exhaust yourself in the harvest of God, in the work of God. Now I come to tell you this week, and if we're going to repeat it before I get into the main part of this last part of this message tonight, it's the will of God, amen, that you leave here with the direction in your life. I love to shout and dance and run aisles more than anybody here. But God, through the power of the Holy Ghost, wants you to leave here knowing where you're going. What has God called you into? What ministry, what work of God has He called you to be? Amen. A children's leader? A bus ministry? Amen. A puppet leader? Amen. Hallelujah. What's it called? I got a couple in my church just went with us to Nicaragua. Amen. To help Brother Bobby in their training of the puppets. They were gothic. Amen. They dressed in the gothic lifestyle. Amen. Started coming to our church. Hated holiness. Hated Pentecost. But they fell in love with us. Amen. And started coming to our church. 3 years they'd come every now and then on Sunday morning. See him. She said, Pastor, I've seen you at Walmart a many a time. And hid behind a many a rack. She was rack. She was dressed in that gothic. But in the last year, hallelujah, we just kept loving them, amen, and kept working with them. And in the last year, hallelujah, they've sold out to God, got involved and felt God called them to children's ministry and are doing outstanding. Took them to Nicaragua with me, amen, to do the puppet ministry. You've got to know what you say. God ain't in. I want you to listen to Pastor tonight, amen. I'll tell you what, I had a 10-year-old girl at Vacation Bible School. Her heart had a hole in it. She's going to have surgery. She's in her 10th day preparation. She comes to Vacation Bible School. We got a big green monster puppet called Tiny. Tiny's talking about the healing of God and that Jesus bore the stripes for healing. This little bus kid, hallelujah, come up and said, Brother Greg, Tiny said, hallelujah, Jesus could heal. And I want to know, can He heal my heart? And she said, I'm having surgery. Hole in her heart. I said, yes, baby, Tiny's right. Laid hands on her, we prayed, and God miraculously healed her. Can you shout amen? Went in and could not find a hole in her heart anywhere. Amen. She's a bus kid, comes in, amen, when she's able able to. Her mother and daddy lost without God, living in a horrible lifestyle. But I want you to know tonight, took her back to the doctor. It's been 2 years ago. Took her back to the doctor the other day. They said she had another kind of disease that's come on her body. Right there in the middle of that doctor's office, she embarrassed her mother. She said, "Mama, I don't believe a word he's saying." She said, "You get me back to that church. They'll pray for me and God will heal me." Hallelujah to Jesus. I come to tell you tonight, God's looking for some young boys and young girls that arise and say, "God has called me to this part of ministry." Amen. This work of ministry, it's God's will for you to know the direction you're going in. Brother James Snow said his oldest daughter, she talked to me today. Amen. There's a group going to Africa this next year, going to try to connect them so she can go to Africa for her first time. But ever since she was 4 years old, she's had a burden for the country of Africa. And all her life, she's been praying and seeking God for that direction and that purpose. It is the will of God at a teenage age that you know what God has destined you to do with your life. It ain't good enough to wait till you're 30 and find out, because the average age is 70 something years old. You've wasted. But if you can find out at 14 what God wants you to do and pursue that direction, hell knows what damage you're going to do to the kingdom of God. I'm 36 years old, just turned it 2 weeks ago, and I've been preaching this gospel for 21 years. Hallelujah. Since I was 14 years old, if I had waited to now to find the will of God, I'd have missed the last 21 years of my life. It's the will of God that you know that. The Bible said David served his own generation by the will of God. I've been preaching to you concerning the spiritual revolution that we have set the stage. The last 5 to 6 months has set the stage of the coming of the Son of Man. Whether you believe in pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib, the fact is the Antichrist is about to be revealed. It's closer than we've ever known. The chaos in the Middle East had to come. And it all started in December 17, 2010 with Mohammed Bouazizi, a 26-year-old kid who set himself on fire to bring about change to the nation of Tunisia. And then it jumped to Egypt and now to Libya. And it's in Yemen and Jordan. Why? It must happen. And if God can take a 26-year-old boy who's radically for that Muslim world, amen, and make through us into the end of time, then what can he do with your life? Amen. For the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's the will of God that you become a spiritual Mohammed Bouazizi and set yourself on fire with the fire of God and the passion for souls in ministry, and go home to your church and start a revolution in your house, start a revolution in your church, start a revolution in your school. Are you hearing me preach tonight? Some of you got the mentality, "I'll do it when I get old enough to go to the mission field." No, man, you're in the greatest mission field ever known to man. In your high school, in your middle school. Oh, somebody help me while I preach here tonight. Well, Brother Greg, they don't want what we have. That's a lie from the pits of hell. I come to tell you that one of the local high schools contacted me 2 years ago and said, "We've got more drug abuse than we've ever had in the history of our school, and we're having too many overdoses. And I want to know, will you come and do a 30-minute or an I-4 45-minute session every Wednesday at the end of school? We can't make them come, but we need something that we can't do ourselves. Somebody have church with me here today. I told you earlier this week in our youth conference this year, a little over 2,300 kids. Amen. Youth groups have went up so shaken and stirred, not because of us, but because of the power of God. Are you listening to me? One 16-year-old boy went home and stood up on a bench. Hallelujah. And began to preach the gospel at break. His principal called him in and told him he couldn't do it. He said, but Mr. Principal, you let that gothic crowd sit over there and they promote their stuff. And you let that other group over there with their guitars sing their music. Then why can't I say what I want to say? If they have the freedom to do what they want, then I have the freedom to do what I want to too. The principal said, you got me there. And he went out and got on the bench and he's preaching at break and he's preaching at lunch. Never been on fire a day in his life under this year. You'll know why. Because God is calling young people to a spiritual revolution. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. What young boy? What young lady? I feel like the American Revolution. I'm here for a rally. I'm here to rally me some troops. I'm here to rally me some militia. Hallelujah. You know what that is? They were simply country people who got up in churches, got up in schoolhouses, and said, we want a free America. Does anybody believe in a free America? And they would raise their hands and they would initiate them, give them a rifle, and put them in the battlefield. Well, I'm at Southern Ohio Youth Camp this week for a rally. Is anybody believing the cause of Jesus Christ? Does anybody believe in the cause of the harvest and lost souls? If so, then lift your hand up and initiate yourself in the greatest war that has ever been known in these last days. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Hallelujah. I told you last night. Amen. I'm trying to get to where I am at tonight. Amen. When we begin to talk about the Spartans and how that they were filled with the cause of a kingdom. They fought for their king. I told you how that one of them said that the Persians got such an army that the arrows. Brother David Coffey told me last today, he said, Brother Greg, you made me want to get out and go to war last night. He said, I want to go out and go to fighting. They went out and got big swords and come back in here, amen, with them big pads on and went to war. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, you made me want to go fight. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope to God I can do that to you tonight. Make you want to leave here and fight greater than you've ever fought. Because there's something worth living for. There's something worth fighting for. And there's something worth dying for. Is anybody hearing me tonight? I said, there's something worth living for. There's something worth fighting for. And there's something worth dying for. You say, I come to ask you, if not you, then who? And if not now here, then where? And if not now, when? Did you hear me? If not you, then who? And if not here, where? And if not now, when? But you know what I say? You, here, now. Hallelujah. I said, you, here, now. Father, set me on fire. I said, I'm a whole Amakaya. I said to you last night, some of you have been snorkeling your entire life. You get the goggles on, the snorkel on, and the fins on, and you swim on top of the water, and you get out in the deep. Hallelujah. But you're on top of the water, and you're looking down in the depths of the sea. Are you hearing me? But it's some scuba divers who get to go deep and go in the caves and go in the holes and see the coral reefs and see the beautiful fish. Some of you have snorkeled your entire life in the Holy Ghost. Every youth camp, you swim out in the middle. Every youth camp, you get off the banks and you pride yourself that you got off the banks. But God's looking for some young people that'll throw the snorkel on the beach and on the bank. Grab you some scuba gear tonight and say, I'm going to the depths of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to the depths of the power of God. I've ever been in my life. Hallelujah. I told you a spiritual revolutionist. Hallelujah. In the American colonies, they had to turn from Great Britain and break free from the British Empire. Everybody shout, we're breaking free. If you're going to start a revolution, you're going to have to break free. You can't hold ties with the world. Hallelujah, and have a revolution. Come on, don't get quiet on me now. I said, you can't break. Hallelujah. Come here, honey. No, this one beside you. Yeah. I thought she's a baker, but she ain't a baker. She's with the bakers. Hallelujah. Amen. Come here, Nate. I picked on him all week. I'll keep picking on him tonight. Hallelujah. Let's say Nate. What's your name, darling? Jessica. Nate's been flirting with Jessica. Hallelujah. He's been giving her the wink. Wink at her, Nate. Whoa, did you see that wink? You know how to wink, don't you, Bob? He said, yes, sir. Last night I asked him, was he ready to preach? He said, no, not now. But he said he knows how to wink. Amen. But he's been flirting with Jessica when nobody ain't looking. He winks his eye when nobody ain't looking. And when they go to walk into the fellowship hall, he walks beside her. Come on. And he rubs her shoulder just a little bit with his elbow. You ain't doing it. I'm just kidding. Don't do it. Come back here. Hallelujah. They're flirting. Come on, somebody. But then all of a sudden, are you listening to me? When she's around, amen, everybody, she walks up to Nathan and said, hey, Nathan, and begins to talk to him. And he looks at her like, who are you? Come on, somebody. Y'all got to help act this out now, okay? Act like you don't even know her now. Just shrug her off. Hallelujah. I think he thinks you're too pretty to shrug you off now. Hallelujah. Come on here. Amen. Amen. But he shrugs her off now. He acts like he don't even know her. He acts like he don't even know who she is. You know what she's going to say to him when he acts like that in front of everybody? Excuse me. That ain't how you was acting last night. Excuse me. That ain't the way you was acting last night when you were trying to rub your elbow to my elbow. That ain't how you was last night when nobody was looking, you was winking your eye. So you know what? She's got him right where she wants him. Are you understanding me? Oh, well, you can be seated. I want you to know something. You can't come in, come on somebody, and start rebuking the devil when you've been holding hands with the devil last night. You can't come in here saying, devil, get out of my life, when you've been rubbing apple. The devil's going to say, excuse me. You remember where we were last night? Do you remember what me and you did last night? Do you remember what happened last night? Look at somebody and say, if we're going to be a revolutionist, we got to break free. We got to cut ties. We got to let it go. When the American government broke, when the American colonies broke free from Great Britain, it cost them everything. Their women had to, hallelujah, their government, their women, amen, had to make 40,000 skeins of yarn. 180 women in Middletown, Massachusetts, amen, wove 20,522 yards of yarn to make clothes. You'll know why? We're not taking Great Britain's clothes no more. We're not taking their money no more. We're not taking their resources no more. Come on, somebody. Have church with me tonight. I come to tell you, when you go to have a revolution, you got to look at that world and say, we don't want nothing you got. We don't want your entertainment. We don't want your fashions. We don't want your styles. Come on, somebody. Have church with me tonight. I am in a wholeness meeting, ain't I? Hallelujah. We don't want your styles. We don't want your fashions. We don't want your entertainment. We don't want nothing everything you've got, because we are breaking free, because we want a revolution. Come on, somebody. We don't want anything to do with dead, dry religion. We don't want anything to do with dead, dry, common Pentecost. If it ain't got souls wrapped up in it, we don't want nothing to do with it. Well, you're not going to like what I'm about to say, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Hallelujah. I found myself in the last several years of my life. Amen. I don't have time. Come on, somebody. For the churches who don't have a desire to see souls saved. And I don't have time for the pastors who, come on, somebody, who could care less about the harvest, because we don't have anything in common. The only thing that I've got in common, that we have in common, my God, I feel like I'm preaching here tonight. We need to wake up and realize it ain't each other that we're fighting. Jim Setzer, you're not my problem. Hallelujah to Jesus. Brother Rex Lord, you're not my problem. Brother Hirsch, you're not my problem. And the sooner we quit fighting each other, are you helping me preach here tonight and focus on the real cause and the real purpose? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Winkler, you're not my battle tonight. Brother David Brim, you're not my battle tonight. But we do have something in common. Let's win the lost. Let's reach the harvest. Let's start a revolution. Lift your hands all over this house and believe God for a revolution. Hallelujah. 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 We have disunified ourselves over junk for so long that the enemy has tore us to pieces that we can't reach nothing. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Are you hearing me preach? I said, are you hearing me preach? I come to tell you, hallelujah, I fight not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of hell and the principalities and the rulers of darkness. Come on, somebody. I want you to know that drug addict ain't my problem. They're not fighting me. That alcoholic ain't fighting me. Come on. But some of the brethren, come on, in the area, come on, somebody, who don't like us reaching out to the harvest, hallelujah, will shut down, put up walls, won't have a thing to do with you, and you have to do it by yourself. Come on, somebody. But I come to tell you what, here tonight, there's one thing for sure. I'm not here for a popularity contest, and I'm not here to see who's better than who else is. I'm here to win souls, and if a soul's in it, then count me in. But if souls ain't in it, you can count me out. God didn't put me to gather together in the four walls of a building to enjoy, amen, utter each other. God put me here and you here, and the only reason why we still here is because of that dying world. We can fellowship in heaven. We can talk in heaven. We can shake hands in heaven. The only reason why we're still here is because there's a harvest out there to reach. God baptized us with a call to ministry. Brother Matt Wilson was telling me today that in his school where he's teaching, hallelujah, in the worst class of his day, the worst girl in the worst class of his day. I'm not just talking about the worst class. He said that the roughest, meanest class of the day, the worst girl in the class, what was her name, man? Leslie. Even walked in because he teaches religion. Amen. He gets to teach Christianity. And Leslie walked in. He also has a Bible study group. Amen. Leslie walked in the worst class. The worst girl had a house arrest on her foot, on her leg. Hallelujah. Ooh. She walks in and looks at Matt and says, Mr. Wilson, what do I have to do to be saved? Hallelujah to Jesus. Oh, am I boring you tonight? I had a gothic girl show up to a camp meeting I was preaching. I got through preaching, went to the bathroom, changed my sweaty clothes. She sat in the back. It was outdoor like this. I went, changed clothes, went to the back of the building. Amen. I done prayed in the altar service about an hour and a half, 2 hours. I went and changed, went and sat back there. Noticed she didn't budge. I sat down behind her. Amen. And I looked up at her. Amen. And her white makeup was running. And her black makeup was running. She's stone cold. Amen. All of a sudden, I said, baby, you all right, darling? She turned around and looked at me with stone cold eyes. She said, you know why I'm here, preacher? I said, no, baby, I don't. Why are you here? She said, I'm hunting a reason to believe. Hallelujah to Jesus. And I'm going to do my best, if it kills me, to give her a reason to believe. Come on, you're looking at me funny tonight. Matt said, Leslie said, what must I do to be saved? And he told her, because he could teach Christianity, because he teaches all other religion too. Hallelujah. And suppose you pray. Then she wanted him to play Amazing Grace. He said, I didn't have that in none of my CDs, so we just sung it. Hallelujah. In the worst class. Hallelujah. He said, you know what we call it? A revolution. We're starting a revolution in our school. This was before he got here, and I preach what I'm preaching. Hallelujah. His Bible school class had their talent hour. Hallelujah. And his Bible study class got together and got into the talent contest and did the drama, everything. Hallelujah. Amen. How drugs and alcohol have come in between. Amen. Us, and we're trying to get back to God. It's caused an uproar in his school. Hallelujah. But you want to know why? Matt's saying we're going to start a revolution. You know why? Because there's some more Leslies out there. Oh, somebody help me while I preach. You know why? Hallelujah. I'm going to say it as Brother Clendenin would have said it, Pastor Winkler. Hallelujah. It ought not to be that school. You crying, oh God, I got to go back. Oh God, I got to go back. It ought to be the other way around. It ought to be that school crying, my God, that kid that got the Holy Ghost this year at camp, it's just walked in our doors. Hallelujah to Jesus. Somebody shout, I'm not a conformer. I'm a transformer. God's looking for some young boys and young girls that arise up tonight and say, I refuse to conform to my school. I refuse to conform to my family. I refuse to conform to a religious system. I will be a transformer. I will worship God. I will live sanctified. I will be filled with the Holy Ghost, and I will reach the lost no matter what it costs me. I give my life for the harvest. Lift your hands all over this building and give God a praise. Somebody shout, I'm a revolutionist. Lay your hands on your belly and say, wake up the revolutionist in me. It means a sweeping, dramatic change. Everybody shout, he ain't talking about rebellion. I'm talking about souls. I'm not talking about being rebellious. I'm not talking about going home with an arrogant attitude and rebelling against the pastor. But I'm talking about going home looking at the religious system who says it's all right if we don't have somebody saved in 3 Sundays. I'm talking about going home and looking at a religious system that says it's all right if we ain't had a move of God in 4 Sundays. Come on, somebody. I guarantee you, if you got a knot in your body, you ain't waiting 4 Sundays to go to the doctor. Ain't nobody hearing me tonight. I said, if you got a lump in your body, ain't none of you waiting 4 weeks to find out if it's cancer or not. You get a lump. If your mama finds a lump in you, baby, she's taking you to the emergency room tonight. You'll know why. She don't want you to have some disease. I'm telling you, somebody hear me today. We need to look at the religious system of our hour and say, you know what? We ain't had nobody saved in the last 2 Sundays. Let's do something about it. Hallelujah. We've not had an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in 2 Sundays. Let's do something about it. Hallelujah. I had a youth pastor call me. Their pastor called me the other day. Said, Brother Greg, I don't know what happened at that youth meeting. Hallelujah. Said, but every Sunday, my teenagers have dragged my youth pastor onto the streets of our city. Hallelujah. He said, I was about ready to fire him. Hallelujah. But whatever happened in that youth meeting, they've come home and drug him out into the streets. Hallelujah. Because it ain't enough. I said it ain't enough. I said it ain't enough. You were called to do more than look pretty in your Pentecostal church. You were called to do more than sing pretty. You were called for a purpose and a cause for the harvest of souls. Man, I wish I could preach like you preachers. I wish I could just get up here and talk like y'all do and preach and not get all radical. It's the only way I and scream. The dead hath been awakened. Shall I sleep? That's what one revolutionist said. There's a thorn in my couch. Sit down, Brother Brian. What's wrong? Huh? Hallelujah. What's wrong, Brother Matt? Try to sit down. Hallelujah. You can't get comfortable anymore? Why, there's a thorn in my couch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not satisfied anymore. Hallelujah. Church used to just make me happy, but it ain't making me happy anymore. Oh, somebody have church with me today. Hallelujah to Jesus. Ooh. I'm talking about radical revolution. Amen. I'm not going to take my time to explain myself here. Amen. You should have enough confidence in me by now to know me. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. I know a lot of, amen, church preachers against competitive sports. But I've got a kid in my church that is in competitive sports. That's between him and his grandmama. He lost his mother when she was 25. He's been through hell on earth. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? She aspirated and died in the bathroom with him there. This baby boy's had a lot of problems. But I want you to know, amen, he's took the power of God to the ball field. Now you say what you want to. He took it to the ball field. In so much that God has made such a radical change in that kid that his football coach, hallelujah, has contacted us and said to his grandmother, I don't know what church you go to, but I want you to have your pastors to start meeting us every night before the game and do a devotion with all of our kids. Because if God can help your grandson, then he can do the same thing to these other 40 boys. Come on, somebody, you're looking at me funny. I come to tell you, hallelujah, that kid is having such an influence on that school and such an influence in that high school that guess what? He's not only playing JV, but he's so good he's playing varsity. Hallelujah, not only that, hallelujah, they just come to him and picked him out of 150-something other in South Alabama, amen, to go train at the University of Alabama for a solid week. Hallelujah, and he took the Holy Ghost there with him. Come on, you're looking at me funny. I come to tell you here tonight, hallelujah, God's looking for some young boys and some young girls that have put a priority on the power of God and the priority on the gospel. Anybody feel what I'm feeling here tonight? There's a thorn in my couch. I said there's a thorn in my couch. There's a trumpet in my ear. I can't be seated. I can't sit down. I can't quit. I've got to preach. I've got to obey God. I've got to do the will of God. Lift your hands all over this house. Ask God to put a thorn in every couch of every young boy and every young girl. And a trumpet in your ear. I got to quit. I'm nowhere even near what I need to be. Everybody shout, it's not rebellion. It's a love for the cause. Hallelujah. Give me liberty or give me death. give me revival or give me death. Give me souls or give me death. Hallelujah to Jesus. Give me my high school or give me death. Give me my middle school or give me death. Give me my neighborhood or give me death. Hallelujah. Oh, does anybody feel what I'm feeling here tonight? God's looking for some young people that'll cry, give it to me or give me death. Give me revival or give me death. If you're going to be a revolutionist, the first thing you're going to have to do, and here's where we're fixing to get to the nitty gritty. Everybody say this with me. You're going to have to tirelessly, relentlessly seek truth. Stand up, Jessica. What religion are you? Why? You're Pentecostal. Why? You believe it's the best religion? Who told you it was the best religion? Jesus told you, good. How about you? What are your parents? I don't know. All right. How about you? What religion are you? Why? You love the Lord and you believe that's the best way. What's your parents? My mom's Pentecostal. To be a revolutionist, you must tirelessly, relentlessly seek truth. You are quiet on me now. How do we know Pentecost is right? Ooh. I love it when it gets like this. Why are you what you are? My mom and dad raised me. I didn't see this. I read this. Larry King is a reporter on the CNN News. Larry King had an atheist on his show, an agnostic on his show, a Jew on his show, and a Christian. And on his radio show, TV show, the end of the night, he said, "You, atheist, what was your parents?" Atheist. "You, agnostic, what was your parents?" Agnostics. "You, Jew, what was your parents?" Jewish. "You, Christian, what was your parents?" Christian. He said, "Settles it all. You are all a product of what you've been raised." Well, I've not come to talk to kids who know it because this is what they were raised. Because kids who were just raised will never start a revolution. Because you don't know it for yourself. Ooh, I should have gave an altar call a while ago. But I challenge you. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I got your attention. If I've not had it all week, I got it right now. Because you kids are going, "Dear God, Brother Greg, just throw the kink in the wheel. I mean, just throw the chain and a wrench in the wheel." Joey Begley, what are you? What religion are you? Why? Huh? Hallelujah. Because of Jesus and my parents? Listen to Pastor Greg just for a moment. If you're going to start a revolution, I challenge you tonight to lay down everything you have ever been taught. And tirelessly, relentlessly seek truth. feel an anointing I haven't felt all week long right now. Hallelujah. Because there's something snapping in the brains of some of these kids. Because you've always been taught, because I said so. Because we preach that way. Because we teach that. It's because that's the way Grandpa said. But now the preacher's up here telling you, come up and drag everything Grandpa taught you and lay it on the altar and tirelessly, relentlessly seek truth. Hallelujah. I don't want you to know it because I said it. I don't want you to know it because Pastor Setzer said it. But I want you to lay it on the altar and fall in this book. And when you get through tirelessly, relentlessly seeking the truth of this gospel, honey, there ain't enough devils in hell to hold you back. Then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Hallelujah. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Hallelujah. You know why it gets quiet? I'll tell you why. Some of you older ones are about to have a cow because I'm challenging them to lay it on the altar and restudy it. You don't know why? You must have some doubts in your own minds. Because if what you got's truth, you don't mind them studying it. You don't mind them relentlessly seeking it. Hallelujah to Jesus. Because guess what? Grandma might have compromised. You didn't hear me. I said Grandma might have compromised. Papa might have let down. Grandma might have not kept up the standard. Papa might have let down. Come on, somebody. But I promise you, you lay this book on the altar and restudy it and tirelessly, relentlessly seek the truth of God's word, you're going to find out for yourself. I gotta get high enough I can see all of you. You know why I don't mind telling you to lay it down? Because I know that I know that I know that I know if you seek truth, baby, you're gonna come up believing Pentecost like you've never believed it in your life. You're gonna come up believing holiness and righteousness and sanctification like you've never known in your life. Why? It's the truth of the Word of God. Hallelujah. 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 I'm tirelessly, relentlessly going to seek truth. And if you're going to be a revolutionist, you got to tirelessly, relentlessly seek truth. I'm going to give the altar call in just a minute. Hang with me just a minute. I'm leaving you with this. You got to tirelessly, relentlessly seek truth. And number two, your grandma and grandpa might have lost the fire. And so you need owe it to yourself to seek the truth. I could preach this. I'm not disrespecting our elders. You men know that. Hallelujah. But Brother Collins, what I'm trying to say is I cannot put my confidence in men to lead me into the... Come on. Yes, I can have confidence in people. Hallelujah. But for the most part, the cloud stood over Moses' head. Hallelujah. I got to know for myself, this is real. This is right. Or I'll never give my life for what I don't believe in. But when you lay it on the altar and study it for yourself, every 1 to 2 years I lay down everything I believe back on the altar and restudy it, Brother Joe. You want to know why? I want to know that I know that I know that I know I'm walking in the truth. Hallelujah. And you know what happens, Sister Jessica Setzer? I don't compromise. I come up with a greater determination and a greater desire to believe this book than ever. I've been talked about, lied on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You preach in too many liberal places. You go to too many questionable places. Well, you want to know something? Never one day stand before God right here. Never one day have I sought those places. Never one day have I called them and asked them to let me preach. Never one day have I brown nosed to get in their pulpits. They found me. They called me. I didn't go hunting them. Come on, and I preach in places, hallelujah, that don't hold a high, even sanctification, come on, than what I believe. Come on, somebody. But you'll know why I can preach there and still live what I live and believe what I believe, because I know this book. Hallelujah. You're not hearing me. I know this book. Hallelujah. And I've been too many places and I saw too many things. And if you're waiting on me to get a new revelation, I'm not about to change. There ain't but one revelation. And if you'll tirelessly, relentlessly seek the truth of this book, you'll come up and fight it with everything that's within you. Hallelujah. Pastor Winkler, that's the one thing Pastor Clendenna drove in me when I met him. You fall in that altar. You pray to the life of God comes alive in you. And you study that book. Do you find the truth? Honey, that answered it for me. I said, that answered it for me. It lit a fire in my bosom. It lit a fire in my ministry. Why? Somebody lift your hands in this house and say, I'm going to tirelessly, relentlessly seek the truth. I'm quitting. Everybody shout, that's number one. Number two, when I find it, I got to accept it. Even if it hair lips your denomination. Hallelujah. Even if it goes against everything your parents have taught you, you better say, come on, somebody, I'm going to accept it. Hallelujah. I know God's moved in some places. Hallelujah. For them to accept the truth. Brother Jim Setzer. Brother L.L. Collins. They'd have had to uproot their entire denomination and admit their entire movements was wrong. Come on, somebody. And they refuse. Amen. To go the way of God. To follow the other route. But I come to tell you tonight. Amen. Boy, it's getting quiet. If you tirelessly, relentlessly seek this, when you find the truth, lift your hand right now and say, I'll accept it. Joey Bagley, if you tirelessly, resentfully, relentlessly seek truth and you find it, will you accept it? Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Hallelujah to Jesus. How about you, Jessica? Will you accept it with everything that's within you? Even though your parents ain't really in this, hallelujah, you'll accept it. You'll give your life to it. Albert Einstein stepped on the scene. Hallelujah. After 100 years of scientific study, he said, I come to tell you E equals MC squared. Hallelujah. When he did, 100 years of scientific study stood up and said he can't be right. Hallelujah. If Albert Einstein is right, then 100 years of study's wrong. Hallelujah. But you know what the scientist said? He meant if he's right, we will accept it. Somebody shout amen. My wife's nervous wreck over here. Me preaching like that. Hallelujah. I know when she's nervous when she's twitching her fingers. Hallelujah. Amen. She said, baby, what are you doing? I come to tell you, if you'll tirelessly, relentlessly seek the truth, and when you find it, go ahead and commit. I'm going to accept it. You're fixing to change your church. You're fixing to change your house. You're fixing to change your neighborhood. How can you say that, Pastor Greg? You're not worried they're going to get in some false doctrine? No, ma'am. Not if they tirelessly, relentlessly seek the truth of this book. Hallelujah to Jesus. Guess what? When we bombed Iwo Jima, they found out E did equal MC squared, and they accepted it. Mr. Einstein was right. Somebody give God a shout of praise in this house. And I'm finishing. Are you listening, Pastor, tonight? Revolutionaries are not burdened because of the storm. The only thing that burdens us is the cause. Paul was on his way to Rome and he stopped in Acts chapter 20 and 24 and said, I don't know what will come of me, but none of these things move me. Brother David Brim, he said, I don't know what's going to happen to me when I get to Rome, but none of these things move me. Everybody shout, John Hyde prayed 10 years till he died. A young man, he prayed himself to death. You know why are you, some of you young people are struggling? Even though you come from good homes. Because you live with parents that you don't know if they really believe this or not. I wish I could preach. The most damnable thing to a home is not a drug addict father or an alcoholic father. But it's a father who sits every Sunday and hears Brother Hurst preach, but never becomes what he hears. The most damnable thing to a home, Brother Lex Lloyd, is a mother who sits on your pews every Sunday and hears it, but never becomes this. John Hyde prayed 10 years till he prayed himself to death. Everybody shout, Nathan Hale. It's part of the American Revolution. When they found Nathan Hale, they killed him, they beat him. And they got him to admit what he was. He was a spy. And they said, what do you have to say for yourself, Mr. Hale? Nathan Hale said, there's only one regret I have, sirs. And that regret is this. I regret I only have one life to give this great country. I'm going to give the altar call different tonight. If you don't mind, just be seated. And you that are standing over here can stay standing. Don't move. Just stay there. But I want you to hear me because I'm just going to give this altar call this way. The only regret I have is I only have one body to give Jesus. Because if there was more than me, I'd put one pastor in. I'd put one a Sunday school teacher. I'd put one a youth pastor, one an evangelist, and one a missionary. Instead, I'm one man trying to do it all that I can. I got a woman up there who's the same way. We had three rehabs we worked with. They're coming in by the droves. Kneeling on altars with earrings in the noses and the ears and ever walk a life imaginable. I was sick the other day trying to pray. She was crying on the piano. Finally, she just got up and come down off the stage, got down in the floor. Enough for you? She said, no. She said they needed somebody to hug them. They needed somebody to wrap them up. Hallelujah. Why? For the last point is this. I must tirelessly, relentlessly seek truth. Number two, when I find it, I must accept it. Number three, Pastor Cesar, Pastor Winkler, I'm talking about Clendenin, so when I do, I call your names. I'm going to borrow your stuff for a minute. Everybody say this with me. God has no plan B. He only has a plan A. So number one, you tirelessly, relentlessly seek truth. Number two, you accept it. Number three, everybody shout, we cannot fail. Sister Angela Donahue, if you fail, you know what happens? Men go to hell. If you don't let the Holy Ghost live through you, the life of Jesus Christ, and drive you for the cause, men will go to hell. Bobby Bailey, stand up just a second, please. He gave his life to missions right up here in this altar. I've been with him in Nicaragua. He's put his entire life on hold. He cares nothing about himself. I've stayed in his home. He's up at the break of dawn. And don't come in to the dead of night. For the souls of Nicaragua. Because if Bobby fails, men go to hell. I come to tell you the last night of this meeting, God has called you to pull men out of the fire. Every day of your life, God doesn't waste one day. Have I bored you tonight? We just took 45 to the river the other day to baptize them because we don't have no baptistry. Last year we took them down to the river to baptize them again. They're all hoodlums on the other side of that river. They all get out and cut their country music off, and the women wrap up in blankets to respect the church people. Across that river was a tattooed, earring, nose, chain wearing bunch that were passing through. 4 Sundays I was supposed to be on the banks of that river and had to cancel. And all of a sudden I climb in that water and start baptizing. About 45 minutes, an hour later, I'm through. I go to get out of that water. When I did, Pastor Brim, one of them women wrapped in a towel walked down to the edge of that water and said, "Hey, preacher, can you come on this side of the river for a little while?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, give me just a minute." She jumped in the truck and come on the other side so she'd get down there with me. I swam that other side, and there's the roughest, toughest looking one. Tear tattoos all over his face, earring in his nose, a chain from his ear to his nose, him sitting there sobbing. He said, "I've heard of this." There's about 10 of them standing there, 8 or 10 of them. He said, "I've heard of this and saw it on a movie one time." He said, "But preacher, the whole time you've been talking, my heart's about to pound out of my chest." He said, "I want what you people have." And standing on the banks of that river, we prayed that crew through. They were passing through. Had they been there the other 3 Sundays? No, sir. If I had been there the other 4 Sundays, I'd have missed them. God orchestrated my life for them. You'll know why. God's only cause and purpose is the souls of men. Folks, if that's not his cause, then he'll take us to heaven, because there's no other reason why we should be here than the cause of lost humanity. Andy, if you fail, ever so you're supposed to reach or go to hell. You're not just fighting for you, darling. You're fighting for every kid you're supposed to reach. You're not just making a decision for yourself tonight. You're making a decision for every soul you're supposed to reach. I had a youth camp call me. I had 600 kids. They tried to get me 6 years in a row and I couldn't go. Finally, they moved their camp so I could come, because I was on top of another camp. They did. That camp ended up on that camp, so I ended up not going to be able to go. That camp called me and said, "Brother Greg, if they'll let you come and take off 2 nights of their camp, we'll fly you here and fly you back." I preached Monday and Tuesday night of one camp, got in a plane, flew to another camp, preached 2 nights around, flew me back. Hallelujah. In time for the baptism. Amen. I was so tired. I was so wore out. I got on the plane. Amen. On that Friday, Sister Brim, I was so tired. I was so sick. I'd preach one way at one camp, went to another and preached it, and I had to turn around and go back to the other camp. I said to myself, "I won't ever do this again." And I'm on the last leg of my flight, and I'm on that flight, and they sent me. I don't like for them to fly me. James flies with me. Nobody ever will go, because I don't like sitting beside nobody, because I'm so big. They messed up my seats. I was mad because of that. I was aggravated because I'm having to sit beside a Philadelphia lawyer. who don't act like he wants anybody to even touch him, even look at him, let alone touch him. So I'm sitting there, I'm aggravated. He gets his computer out and his paperwork out, and I said, it's going to be a boring hour. He's going to look at his court case or whatever he's doing. All of a sudden I looked over there and it had 2 week preparation for a lung transplant. And I started crying. I said, oh God, this didn't have nothing to do with me and these two camps. This had nothing to do with me and putting me at this camp and that camp and this camp. You messed up my schedule to get me on this plane for this man. Because God loves that man. Oh God, I wish I could preach to you. God didn't save you this week because I'm a good preacher. God saved you this week because he loves you. God ain't filled you with the Holy Ghost because I'm a good preacher. He filled you with the Holy Ghost because he loves you. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to need somebody to help me. This jar ain't small enough for me. Come here. I should have practiced. Stretch your hand down in there. Grab me as many goldfish as you can get me. I heard about this. Anybody know how long a goldfish can live outside water? Bring them up. Throw them. Get some more. You know goldfish can live 1 minute outside water? That's what I hear. Just throw them right here in the water. Goldfish can live 1 minute outside of water. Amen. How many knows if we fail, men will go to hell? If we don't let God use us the way God wants to use us, men will go to hell. What's wrong, baby? I see you in that middle aisle. What's wrong? You got up and moved all the way up here. You worried about these goldfish? You ain't worried about them? How about you, baby? Are you worried about that goldfish? Why? Huh? Because you don't want it to die? Would you like to save it? Huh? You'd like to save that goldfish? Huh? Why do you want to save? Why are you getting both of them? Just one's enough. One ain't enough. Huh? One's not enough. So you had to get both of them? You're getting a third one too? Huh? You're getting a fourth one too? Excuse, why? Ain't one enough? Why? Because you don't want them to die? If a kid can get stirred up over a goldfish, and how about you say, I don't want one soul to go to hell. In reality, baby, a goldfish has been known to live up 18 hours outside of water. But thank you. How many deny to say, one ain't enough? Jamie, two ain't enough, baby. Somebody shout, three ain't enough. Somebody shout, four ain't enough. Hallelujah. Well, I won one soul. My ministry's over. It ain't enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said I wasn't going to take but 4 youth camps. But 4 wasn't enough. 9 had to come. And most of them, I'm one part of the week, I'm in one, and another, I'm at that another. Hallelujah. And I'm wore out, but it ain't enough. It ain't enough because there's another young man, there's another young woman. Right now, in the name of Jesus, if there's any young boy that I come to talk to in this house, or young lady, that says, Brother Atkins, God is calling me to be a revolutionary, and I want to make a difference, and I want to pull them out of the fire, and I don't want to lose one soul. I don't want ain't enough. One ain't enough. One ain't enough. If that's you, I want you to stand to your feet right now in the name of Jesus. If one ain't enough, if one ain't enough, if one ain't enough, if two ain't enough, if three ain't enough, if four ain't enough, it's not enough. It's not enough. I'm ready for a change in my life. I'm ready to start a revolution. If God's talking to you, some of these boys that doesn't come to the altar, I want you to move right now in the name of Jesus. And I want you to make up your mind on the last night of this meeting. I'm going to be, Sister Brim, I know you wore out, but Jesse would love for you to come help her. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh.